The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
All right, so the scripture this reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. It says this: "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear." This is God's holy word.
Let me open up in prayer, as we usually like to do at Living Axe, just praying for me that I do good up here this morning, and faithful in yourself that you hear what God has to say to us this morning through me. So let's just take a moment and do that, and I'll close that in prayer, and we'll start. God, we love you so much. Thank you for speaking to us, continually speaking to us. And thank you very much with all my heart for speaking to me so clearly about what you want to say to your people this morning. So I'm here to do your will, God. Take my many imperfections and sins and weaknesses and use them for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 7. Most of the week, this is what I've been reflecting on. This is what I've been looking at all week. The author's intention is pretty clear. He's probably your typical modern skeptic. He's looking for meaning and purpose in life. He can't find it. It's vain everywhere. And one day, he goes to church. Modern speak. But he goes to church, the temple. And guess what he finds? Vanity. He entered into the house of God and he found that people are rash with their mouths. This must be what he just dropped in the suggestion box on his way out. They were hasty with their speech. There was a lot of dreams. There was a lot of talking and no action. The atmosphere of the worship meeting must have been very conducive to what we typically see on a Sunday morning service, which is a theater-style setup. We didn't do it as Living Axe, but we have gradually created this style to where it's set up more like a performance. You're here to hear a professional speaker. He's going to entertain you for about an hour of your life, or maybe less if you're fortunate. You're going to hear a very gifted music person, Austin or Weston or whoever's over here. You're going to hear all of this stuff, and you're going to go home edified. 1 Corinthians, last Sunday, before I even get into that, last Sunday was so good. If you missed it, you just missed out. It was such a blessing. And really, all we did was we just organized what should be going on all the time. Just people encouraging one another and edifying one another, turning their souls inside out, letting people see what's going on in their life and the way God's changed them. And all of that, all we did was we just put organization to it. This text that we quote all the time as pastors about Hebrews 10, whenever you meet together, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not just about don't just not show up to church. It's about when you come to church, when you're coming into the service, encourage one another. Edify one another while you're here. That's the meat of why you come. You don't come just to be encouraged and edified, but to encourage and edify one another. That's why you're here. Pray over somebody. Listen to them. Go sit out into the pews and just park it and just talk to someone. See their soul. What's going on? We know that the philosophy of a book of Ecclesiastes is very plain. And the scripture teaches us that we're not like lettuce. We don't rot from the outside in. We rot from the inside out. We're more like potatoes. And so that means you can't see that somebody's hurting and broken. And I think the atmosphere of what this person experienced, now albeit the temple, very far removed, but what he saw was like, this is very conducive to pretentious play, to people who you'll never know what's going on in their heart. 1 Corinthians 14, it says that in good worship, a person, an unbeliever even, comes into the meeting and the secrets of their heart are disclosed and they fall on their face and they say, God is really among you. The writer of Ecclesiastes leaves, his secrets of his heart stay closed, and he says, God is nowhere among you. And I just don't want it to ever be said, guard your steps when you go to live in Acts, for they do not know they're doing evil. That's not what I want. And so all week, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking, you know, for most of the week, I've been thinking about pretentious worship, what Alistair Begg calls mechanical worship, or just coming in, or Derek Kidner says there's these people, they show up, and they pretty much just listen with half an ear and do what he calls verbal doodling. They just sit there and draw stick figures in their mind. They're not even here. They're displaced. They're not even really participating with worship. It's like being on a date with Lacey, and I'm not even there. I'm not even with her, and she can always tell when I'm like that. She's sitting across from me, and I'm not there, and she knows I'm not there, and it's almost like you just want to call it off and just say, or she wants to say to me, just stop. Just stop. What are we doing? Well, like I said, I was thinking about this passage all week, and the point of it is pretty clear. God wants our heart. That's what he wants. This is not meant to be profound. I'm not trying to be profound. He wants our heart. And he knows what's going on in each of our lives at this very moment. Even though we do so many clever things to hide it. And it becomes so conducive to slip in and slip out. And you go home and weep in your pillow over the pain you're experiencing. But you put on a good play for 2 hours. That is not wrong, it's evil. You hear what the author's saying? It's evil. And what's worse, they don't have a clue. They just keep doing the same thing every week. That's what I was thinking about all week. And I had all these brilliant notes ready to give yet another spectacular spectacle or whatever. And you know that Lacey and I have, and I'm not going to give it. I'm not going to preach a sermon. I mean, I'm closing this right now. I'm not going to do it. You guys know we've been dealing with anxiety. Lacey and I have been dealing with it. It's been coming and going, panic attacks. You've been praying for us. We have no idea where it came from. It just hit. It doesn't ask for invitations. It just shows up. You know how it is. If you're dealing with it, and I hear most people are. So you're not alone. This week has just been odd, just kind of been out of it. I don't know what's been going on, but last night went to a wedding, and, when I was leaving the wedding, I was just telling Lacey, man, I don't know what's going on, but this thing's starting to get in the back of my shoulder blades. It's rising up the back of my neck. I feel like I'm fixing to fall apart. And so we got home, Lacey went inside, I went inside and I said, you know what, I don't even know what I'm going to do, but I'm just going to go drive around. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to drive around town. I'm lost. I have no idea what to do. This thing is killing me. It's like my inside was starting to crack. You know, it's like your body was revolting against your spirit. I mean, it was awful. And so I found a place to park in my car. I was going to drive around, found a place to park in my car. And I'm not kidding you. I just sat there in dead silence, just staring at the whatever. And I was just like, God, what? I mean, what is this? I mean, if this is going to happen, let it happen, right? I'll rejoice in my suffering. But tell me what this is. I don't even know what's going on. Nothing. Well, I was so irritated, frustrated, sick, and tired. And Lacey sent me a text and said something like, hey, we're having grilled cheese and tomato soup, so do you want that? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. And I turned the key, and I started, this is, what, 16 hours ago or something? Till then, I was ready to go. Started to drive home, and I don't even know where it came from. I don't know if you've cried out to God, but it was screaming out. Not mad, but I'm talking about like utter gut desperation to God. And I was like, well, I can't go home and do this. So I'll just drive around. And that's all I did was just crying. And you want to hear how theological it was? Help me, God. Help me, God. That's what I was saying. Deep stuff, right? Just help me. And I haven't cried like that since Haven passed away. I mean, I was coming apart. And basically, I was just asking God to tell me what's going on and to heal me and help me or do something. The silence was killing me. And I started confessing this sin. This sin just came up. I didn't even really thought about it. I haven't given it that much thought. It's crossed my mind, I guess, but it never really, and it was the only sin that I just kept confessing over and over and over to God. And as I did, all those body symptoms vanished instantly. And of course, I felt relieved, but then I thought, as I was continue to drive around. I just drove around all of Tyler. And I said, okay, now what? And I drove to the dancing drill, and I sat out here in the parking lot. It was pretty late last night. And I just stood here. I just sat in my car looking at the dancing drill, just saying, okay, now what? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Now what? And as clear as I've ever heard it, God just told me, I want you to tell him what you just experienced. I want you to tell them what happened about our talk. And the sin that God brought to my mind was, it's very hard for me to do this. The sin that God brought to my mind was that, I guess at some point connected to some of the stuff we went through, I don't know, but at some point, I just got it in me that I just need to get through life. And that's okay. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we just need to muscle through life. We got to get through it. But at some point, my will and my strength took over. And I'm telling you, I've just been plowing through, going through life in my own strength. God is sort of there somewhere. But I've been doing it all on my own. And I've been doing it all in my own strength, and I've been taking him for granted. And I kept wondering, God, why is life so hard? Why is life so hard right now? Because you're doing it in your own strength. You're doing it for me. You're not doing it with me. And the sermons he gave me, I believe he blessed them, and I know they were from him. But I've taken the gift of teaching that God's given me, and I've said, I'm fine now. I'm doing this on my own. Thank you. In my heart, I said that. And I made the sacrifice of fools. I've been committing evil before you guys. Because I've learned what most pastors learn. I've learned how to give a good performance and get my little accolades and go home. Job well done. We'll do it again next week. And inside, I was just breaking. I was coming apart. And I guess the ignorance part of it was just that I thought, well, I'm in ministry. I mean, I'm doing this for God, so surely he's a part of it. And he wasn't a part of it. It got to where I was barely praying over my sermons. This breaks my heart to say, but I wasn't praying over you guys like I should. Everything was just starting to be taken for granted. He just got pushed aside. And I think maybe I'm under his discipline. Maybe that's what this is. The mind is such a fragile thing, and I think all God did in his sovereignty was just thump it. and all those crazy thoughts that I've been experiencing, just to show me, do you see how fragile you are? And I love you too much to let you keep doing this. I'm not going to let you keep doing this. I'm not going to let you keep just performing and going through all of this stuff with all of your brilliant theology. I'm not going to let you do it. Enough. And when I confessed that before God, which it was the most inarticulate message I've ever, I mean, things that's ever come out of my mouth, it was awful, good, but awful. And like I said, that just lifted off of me. And I think he's still dealing with me. I think there's a lot to go. But you guys have been praying for me, and I'm just telling you, this is an answer to your prayers. God's working in my life. And last night was powerful. You know, I just started thinking about, I wonder how many more people are doing that. I wonder how many more people, whether it's their job or whether it's church or whatever, I wonder how many people are going through that and they're not telling anybody, they're not confessing to anybody because they've got to stay strong. They've got to maintain. They've got to show face. And inside, they're coming apart. Maybe they don't cry. Maybe they go home and just yell at their family. Maybe they go out and they just drink it up. Numb the pain. And I'm just telling you, God loves us too much to let us do this. So I guess if you're a part of Living Acts, if you serve in this church, I'm just telling you right now, when it gets to the point where you feel depleted and you're weak, be careful. Just plowing through. Reach out to your brothers and sisters and say, I'm weak and I need help. I'm coming apart. And I guess this isn't a sermon, it's more of a confession, but I guess I'm up here to ask for y'all's forgiveness. Because I shouldn't have done it this long. I don't know how long this has been going on, but it's been too long, and I'm just up here to say I'm sorry. And I hope that you get the grace to forgive me and you know, that God will continue to work in me to be a better shepherd, a better pastor. I don't know what that means. I don't know how. I just feel his goodness. And the peace that passes all understanding, it's been great. So, listen, I love you guys. That's it. That's it. And again, I'm very, very sorry. I'm going to have Kyle come up and just sort of help us kind of go into prayer and confession, because I don't know how else to close. This wasn't planned. But I would just like to pray openly in confession of my sin before you guys, and then I'm going to turn it over and then pray for you, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kyle. He's going to take off from there, okay? God, thank you so very much for showing your tremendous and powerful love to me. Thank you for, it says in your word, when the righteous cry out to you, you answer them speedily. And that's what was missing. I was just wanting to be freed up to continue to do the evil that I was doing. I was teaching the gospel to your people. And my heart, my lips were honoring you. My heart was distant from you. I don't want to be detestable in your eyes. I don't want you to hear what may please everybody else and be sick. God, I pray. And I ask for your forgiveness of my sin and my weakness. I pray that you forgive me, and I pray you give your people, these people that you've entrusted to me to pray for and to love. And I've been unfaithful in doing that. And I just pray that they would be able to forgive me for my lack of prayer on their behalf. For my self-centered drive to just get through it. I pray that you would give them the grace to forgive me. And I pray if there's anyone else in this room, that that's the case for them. It doesn't matter if it's just one. I pray if there's just one person that's been, they're just coming apart, that today they'd find that text, confess your sin to one another that you may be healed. As I hear your words, God, so deep in my heart, fear not. Fear not. I love you, God, and I love your people. And thank you for being with me last night. Thank you for showing me your love and your grace and speaking to me at a very, very good time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Axe Church, please visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingaxechurch.